After all, that'll be any apology, Lord Devlin. Any apologies? Right, okay, folks, you've all settled down now. Declarations of interest. Oh, no, sorry, Chairman's remarks. I just want to let you know, I'm sure most of you have heard that 3 years after we became the first cluster council in Northern Ireland to be awarded the Charter for Elected Members Development, we've actually been reaccredited with that. So it's absolutely fantastic, and I want to just thank everyone that was involved, the elected members and obviously the officers, for making sure that we retain that, and learning and development will change, and we'll maintain our commitment to working together. So that's really good. And if anybody, basically Charlie, that can't type letters, we'll sort that out. Yeah. I'm going to do a one-to-one with you to help show you how to write letters. Is that right? Yeah. Well, here to help. Okay, declarations of interest? No, okay. Item 3, minutes of the council meeting held on the 7th of November, 2016. So, for some bureaucracy, page 1, 2, these are the action sheets, okay? Yeah. So, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, proposed, seconded. Time harvest or any matters arising?
Chairman, the action sheets are circulated. Most of the actions are either ongoing or completed there. I'm happy to take any questions from any members on them.
Okay, happy enough? Okay. Yes, you're happy enough now? Yes. So, item 4 minutes of the ERT committee, the two faculty again, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Proposed? And seconded? Okay. Any matters arising? Councillor Highland?
I'm glad to hear, Chair, about the clean-up of Newry Conrad River.
Yep.
But I have to say, I don't know how much the amount is. It doesn't actually tell us how much we're receiving for it.
Davey, sorry, would you speak into the mic? Pull the microphone more over to your time.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
But in all my years as councillor, the River Agency has never done anything to help the Clonmel River, or to help in terms of cleaning it up. Why, therefore, would we give £25,000 of that grant to the River Agency, seeing that they have never shown any inclination of doing anything about the turtle state of the Clonmel River? I think that should be, maybe could get an explanation from the proposers and seconders of that motion. Good.
Chair, the funding's coming through DSD in relation to the Clonmel River cleanup, and the funding has to be expended in this financial year. So we have met with the Rivers Agency, who have measured term contracts and people that actually work on cleanups. So we've agreed a specific set of works that they need to do, and it's the most cost-effective and timely manner that work can be completed to enable us to draw down the funding.
Would you agree that they've never done that sort of work before?
Chair, I simply couldn't comment because I wasn't involved with Newry River before.
Councillor?
Yes, Chair, thank you. Issue on page 8 about the caravan and Chelmsea, Morrison, Chair. Chair, I raised this issue in the November ERT meeting, but so since then I've given it a wee bit of thought, and I would be keen to share my concerns here with the full chamber. And thanks to you for allowing me to do so. For those councillors, Chair, who may not be aware, 40 years ago, a housing development was being proposed for what is now Cabrony Park. This prospect prompted a group of local people to get organised in their opposition to what was being planned. They ultimately persuaded their local councillors and the legacy Newry and Moran District Council to take a leap in the dark and step in to purchase the ground, and in so doing undertake one of the best purchases that the council ever made, Chair. Although the council's name is on the deeds, this is the people's part, Chair. The people who first stopped the development, the wider Restivert community, constituents of Crotleigh and the people of the district. The same people, Chair, who own this seat that I am sitting on the 40 odd seats in this chamber. On their behalf, I don't intend to sit in my hands while the golden goose of Cabrony Park is fattened up for the possible arrival of any private operator to take over the role that's currently been undertaken by council staff. As I stated previously, privatisation is all about profit, more often than not to the detriment of the end user, in this case, the caravan and camping fraternity. And I wish to highlight the contrasting approach to this proposal and the one undertaken regarding the use of our swimming pools. where the use of private operators was frowned upon and discouraged from the beginning of this new council. Although it may be argued that this proposal is only to report back with options, Chair, this is the beginning of the end of Cabrony Park as we know it. I believe there is no equivalence between the running of the caravan park in Cabrony that has been successfully operated by the council for decades and two additional parks in Castlewell and Tollymoore that the council are yet to take control of, where options should of course be explored. Should this proposal remain and ultimately come back with a recommendation to privatise, Chair, as I suspect it will, every single manual job in this council has the potential to be sacrificed on the altar of economic expediency and efficiency savings. We don't need any external expertise, Chairperson, to tell us what a wonderful asset Cabrony Park is. And for those reasons, Chair, I wish to again propose that the provision of caravan and camping facilities in Cabrony Park remain under the total control and operation of the council, and any external reports being sought in this regard relate to Tollymoore and Castlewell only. Should I be fortunate enough, Chair, to find a seconder for this proposal, could I please request a recorded vote? Thank you, Chair, for indulging me.
Are you
sure? No, it's a different issue, Chair. Do you want me to give way?
Is anyone else on the same issue? Who else wants to speak on? Can everybody beat the lights and then come back in after that?
Sorry. Yep.
So.
You want me to switch this off, Madam Chair?
Yeah.
Can you switch yours off, Jack?
No, sure, I want to speak on the
mic. Oh, you want to speak on the mic, okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm supporting Jala in this and this concern. I mean, this is a local manifestation of a global problem of so-called liberal economics, where decent paid jobs that are trade unionized are mined out for their benefits and transferred over to the private sector on lower wages, and the benefits of that particular success in the park is being handed over to a globalized private sector. And essentially, it's a transfer of wealth from labour to capital. We need to make a stand here, because we've seen the impact in England through Brexit, where the working class English people have gone and voted Brexit in retaliation for having their jobs mined out. We've seen the same thing in the USA, where the working class are voting for Trump, thinking it will help them solve the situation of their jobs being mined out. We have no business mining out unionised, well-paid and well-run jobs in council and handing them over to the private sector on minimal wages. I think we need to think very carefully about this, about where we're going in the future and what sort of standards we want to set for employment and for the welfare of people and living and working in our council area. Thank you.
Second.
Yeah, well, Charles is looking for a second, or I inserted a second in his proposal. And in doing so, I mean, it would bring, again, I know we did bring that to a vote that night, and it was debated, well, quite close to 8-5, but I still would, you know, emphasise the sentiments behind it, and it is that Tollymoore and Castlewell are two forest parks that we haven't any understanding with in terms of lease. We were going out to look at building a lease with the Forestry Service, but in Restrepo, we have our own regime there in situ, working very, very well, and that is why I was advocating that we would leave it alone in terms of basically moving towards the privatisation of it, because it was a very successful, it is a very successful park, and has been managed very well by council staff, and at the end of the day we will and do have control over it. I'd be very fearful that we start to interfere in any way with something that's working very well, and in fact we've been improving it, and it will, the whole package there will be improved with the whole development of Cabrony and the changes that we propose we're making around the park itself. And I think it would be foolhardy to start to get involved in a whole councillor.
Sorry, Jacqueline, could you speak more into the microphone, because I just can't hear what's happening over here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just thinking, especially as a foolhardy approach to start getting involved, tying everything up together, if it is the wish of the council to proceed in some different fashion with Tullymore and Castle Welland and even Delamont, certainly be it. We will consider those. We'll consider those if that's tabled. But certainly, I feel very passionate about the Kilbroney product as it is, and we would ask again the full meeting of councillors to have it removed from those deliberations and negotiations.
Michael.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I have my light on. Just I too would have seconded the proposal. And I too would be very au fait with the history of Kilbroney Park and what it means to a lot of people in and around Roose River. I do think that it has been running well. It would be different maybe if there was lots of problems with it. And we have seen examples already, some listed out there about the swimming pool. We've done something very similar with the gyms in Uri and the equipment and the whole lot, taking it back under council control. And I was quite amazed. One of the good things about the finances presented recently to councillors by department and the amount of income raised over what was expected to be raised. And I think that it's through initiatives like this that we have the opportunities to raise income coming in to our rates debates in the next few weeks. So I too would support Charlie's motion.
Okay. Is anyone else want to speak on that? You? Are you on the same issue? Yeah, okay. Sorry, you can pause that again. You're not on the same issue?
No.
Nope. Also, take your pause off.
Sorry, Charlie. Press the button now, Henry. Thanks, Charlie. As somebody who visits all the Forth parks, I'm acutely aware, you know, how precious they are to local communities. Any of the Forth parks are the same. But I think we're doing a disservice to all the people and the people you've mentioned, Charlie. You know, you're creating fear among the workforce. You're scaremongering. Talking about privatisation. People now are saying it's okay not to privatise in Kilbroney, but it's okay to privatise in Castlewell and Tullymore, you know, because at the end of the day they're public sector workers in Castlewell and Tullymore. And so there's a contradiction in what the proposers are saying. But my taking of this is it's a study to improve camping and caravan in the three parks. It's a study to look at improving the recreational benefits in the forest in the three forest parks. And what it's about is to look at a study to look at a first class accommodation provision within our forest parks, along with recreational opportunities as well. It's about improving the quality visitor experience for all the users, both locals and visitors alike, using our parks. And as I said, it's doing a disservice to Kilbroney Park by pulling it out of a study. It's only a study. It's looking at proposals which could make the park better. And indeed, a lot of the stuff in the Kilbroney Master Plan is stuff that you want to identify and then go and source funding for them projects. There's no point in having a master plan doing the whole width. So it's about looking at your key priorities in all the forest parks, and there's working on them all. I'm as passionate about Tullymore and Gullion and talk about Delamont, Castlewell, Kilbroney. You know, they're all assets, jewels, you know, and they all have to be, you know, providing the stimulus to our tourism sector that they are, and they will improve to be. There's always improvement you can do in any parks, any forest parks. You can look at the food opportunities in the forest park, for example. You know, cafes and that, they all need improved, you know, that visitor experience and tying in even with, in Tullymore we talked about there was planning permission for a high ropes course. You know, that's how, quality visitor experiences, and that's what we need to do. We need to ensure that we have unique experiences for our visitors
that they can avail of. And I think you're doing a disservice by taking Calbrony out. So after the study's done, you can take Calbrony out. But to have the study done in the first place is a sensible way forward.
Henry?
Madam Chair, people may find this strange in the extreme, but I actually agree with Ollie Clark. I would have first-hand knowledge of many of the caravan sites in Mourne, and you've got men like Jonathan McKibben, Chestnuts, Freddie and Jim, and the Millens there, and they really do run superb facilities. There is absolutely no question or doubt about it. They're all very, very good employers, and their employees have had secure, long-term, well-paid contracts with those private companies. So I would be reluctant to do this on ideological grounds, because I see our council more as in basic services, like keeping dog poo off footpaths. And at the minute, throughout the Newry and Mourne area, it is incredible the amount of dog poo that has accumulated and the amount of complaints that are coming in. And, if we have staff, why have them tied up doing something that the private sector can probably do even better whenever they could be out doing warden duties or clean up duties, whatever. So I see council as having a different set of priorities. And if there are private sector providers out there that could run Calbrony, to say it's going to be privatised and to try and implicate the fact that it was going to be built over at one stage with this study, it's pretty absurd, and you could be accused of fear mongering. So I think, Chairman, that this is actually reasonable and sensible to see what are actually the best ways and the most efficient and financially prudent way to manage our in-house facilities. And I would certainly not support Jarlath on this occasion. I understand the sentiment, but I can't support him on this occasion. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak on the same? Yeah, Hannah or Harry?
No, just to say that I agree with Councillor Clark that definitely what we're trying to do is improve all the parks, to look at them all and make them all equal. That's all.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak on the matter? No, I'm going back to you. Oh, David, so.
Chair, I have to be honest, I'm in a bit of a quandary about it myself.
No, Josh, don't come back. Yeah.
I am concerned about potential old school money being privatised, because I think that the council does a good job of its stands, and with privatisation there comes profit becomes a priority, and we're worried sometimes that people have been priced out of stays and whatever else. But at this stage, clarification, I wasn't obviously at the meeting, this is just a study at this stage, this isn't any. There's no, some second clarification on this. It's just a study at this stage, rather than a.
Yeah, sure. I suppose just for clarity, this is not intended as a means to privatisation at all. This is just an initial study that considers the best options. And to be honest with you, it's something that we had said a while back, that we would look at Calbrony Park and the caravan and camping facilities across the entire district. We're working very closely with Forest Service on all of our forest parks. And through a partnering arrangement, we've agreed that they would 50% fund the cost of this study as we would. So it would be very good if we can include all of the forest parks at this stage. But that's not the decision. The decision will then come when we bring that report back to committee as to how we would actually manage that. But it's most certainly not about privatisation, and it's most certainly not about affecting any of the jobs in Calbrony Forest Park at all.
Okay. Do you want to speak on the same issue?
Yeah, it is. Just really, the control would have been a study, but if we look at point A and B, it's agreeing a joint process between Council and Forest Service to appoint external expertise to prepare a business rationale and specification to seek competent providers for the management of Tullymore, Caswell and Calbrony, a provision to option to consider additional tourism, recreational, which would enhance the tourism offering. Nowhere there does it mention study. It's very clear there we're going out to make a specification that we're not then going to go out to the public sector for expressions of interest. That's what you've written down, that's what you're asking us to agree to.
Sure, and if you refer to point B, it's to revert to council with a completed business rationale and specification prior to progressing any expression of interest.
So it would be about bringing, I think the wording is probably slightly unfortunate, but it would be about bringing that business rationale of whether we would do it or not do that, and just looking at the detail just behind it.
Let's just take away from Councillor Clark's point that this is purely a study. You know, it doesn't read as purely a study.
I can assure members it is a study, and I prefer it. In the minute above, you'll see me explaining the proposal was to carry out an initial study.
Brian,
thank you, Chair. Yes, I think as part of the study, I would like to ensure that we're comparing like for like. Now, the caravan sites that was mentioned here already are all dealing with large caravans that need transport on the back of a lorry. Tobruny is for the small turn caravan, mostly. When these companies that have the caravan sites, the people on the caravan site must purchase the caravan from them. They must sell the caravan back to them. Yeah, I'm talking about the provision of the caravan site. Very, very few. I would defend, along with Joris and Declan Magill, that Tullymore or that Tobruny should be kept by the council and run for the local people who use the small touring caravans and think that is a fantastic facility. If you went up any weekend, summer or winter, while it's still open, the number of local people that are using that resource. And I think for to privatise it or even consider privatising it would be a very serious letdown to our rate payers.
John, do you want to come in there then?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for all the contributions. Just to re-emphasise, sure, Kilbony, it can't be any clearer, has to be and is very distinct from both Tullymore and Castle Island in that it is currently operated and very successfully so by the council employees. So if this external expertise comes back with a case with a business rationale and specification recommending that competent outside providers be taken in to run Kilbony, that will no longer be the case. So there is a distinction. I take issue with the allegations that Councillor Clark was making that I'm scaremongering. I mean, I'm not stupid. I can read the page 8.8, and it's quite specific what the intention is here. And I repeat, this is a slippery slope, and it's one, Chair, that I don't wish to be part of, and will do everything to stop because of the success that Kilbony Park is. So I did not say that Tullymore and Castle Island were to be privatised. I said options were to be looked at, and there's no problem looking at options because they are both sites that are not yet in control of the council. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, just.
So, John, do you want to reiterate your proposal? Sorry,
just come back on some of the points in the debate.
Chair.
It's okay. Yeah, it's been Henry says that the private parks are run extremely well. So are we saying that the council one, is he saying that the council one isn't? Kilbony, are you saying, Henry, that the council can't work, run Kilbony Park efficiently at the moment? Willie Clark says it's just a study on how to run them better. But if he reads the wording, it very specifically says, and even in the meeting before the last ERT meeting, the whole emphasis was on privatisation until we brought it to the attention of the full meeting. The wording in the minutes states that after when the council could then take a decision to privatise or not. The whole thrust of this is about the privatisation of the building. And certainly there were no objections to our officers going off and doing studies on how best that we will take the best out of the parks, but leave privatisation of the camping and caravan out of it. That's not the wish certainly of me and probably quite a substantial number of people here.
Okay, John, so you just want to put in your proposal now again and then we'll go to a vote.
Yes, sure. I propose that the provision of...
Yes, sir.
You ready, sir?
Oh, I am, but Stephen, sir, go on.
Yeah.
My understanding, Chairman, is that he's amending the motion. He's saying he's going ahead with this here, but to take Kilbony out of it. So we're saying we're going to carry on to agree with the joint process in the first applied external consultants for business restoration for the management of Toymoor, Castle Welland, and taking out Kilbony Park and Caravan Park. Is that?
That's correct, Liam.
So it's so. But it's an amendment. It's an amendment to the to that to the.
The recorded vote, Chair, please.
The recommendation of the committee.
No, that's not correct.
No. So, again, as I said earlier, would you let Charles just read out his
message? Well, Chair, the Chief Executive, I think, summed it up best.
Yes,
Ian, do you want to go again, or do you want me to? Give me
well,
right, sure. I'm proposing that the, I wish to put a proposal that the provision of caravan and camping facilities in Kilbony Park remain under the total control and operation of the council, and any external reports being sought in this regard relate to Tullymoor and Castle Welland only.
Okay.
A recorded vote, please.
Seconded by Declan.
In favour of the amendment, then, Chairman.
Okay.
Of amendment to the recommendation in the report, Chairman.
Recorded vote.
So. Okay. Do you want to use anyone to call me?
Yep.
Right.
So, in relation to the Councillor Tinley's proposal, Councillor Andrews.
For the motion.
Councillor Bailey. Councillor Brown. Councillor Burgess. Councillor Stephen Burns. Councillor Pete Byrne. Councillor Carr. Councillor Casey. Councillor Clark. Councillor Craig.
Against.
Councillor Curran. Councillor Dorn.
Yes.
Councillor Ennis. Councillor Enright.
Four.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Four.
Councillor Hannah.
No.
Councillor Hart. Councillor Harvey.
Yes.
Councillor Hertie.
Yes.
Councillor Highland.
Four.
Councillor Kimmins. Councillor Larkin.
Yes.
Councillor Loughran.
Yes.
Councillor McCauley.
Yes.
Councillor Declan McAteer.
Four.
Councillor McMurray.
Four.
Councillor Mulgrew.
Yes.
Councillor Merlin.
Four.
Councillor O'Murray.
Yes.
Councillor Quinn.
Yes.
Councillor Riley. Councillor Ryan.
Yes.
Councillor Shargan.
Four.
Councillor Stokes.
Four.
Councillor Taylor.
Yes.
Councillor Tinley.
Four.
Councillor Trainer.
Four.
Councillor Walker.
Yes.
Have all councillors been called? 21-17. For the proposal 17 against 21, no abstentions.
No, I'm inclined to agree with what David said. The substance of what David had said, that the Rivers Agency have been lacking in, you know, some direction in this in terms of cleaning up the river historically. Their view is if the water flow is not restricted, they're not interested. Now, and I'm delighted to know that the Department for Communities have given us £2, because I think I'm one of the ones who raised it initially, that it was unsightly, especially the Newry aspect of it. Now, there are issues about the Clanroy River. Its full length, as it's right to Carlingford Lough. But I remember going back in the black and white days. I worked for Enterprise Ulster. Anybody remember that? For about 5 years, and more often than not, we were based, and there weren't an arm's length body of the Rivers Agency or any other government department. They were funded just to clean up areas, and the Clanry River was its main focus as well. And it was in fairly good condition then. You said clean the weeds and lift logs and blocks and bricks and anything else that was thrown in. And but I'm delighted, as I said, to know that the Department for Communities, and I think Minister Paul Gibbon, has decided to award a few pounds, and we're directing it into the cleanup in the new aspect of it. A lot of work to be done on it. It's never enough money, but it's a start.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Just 2 points, Chair, under 2017 events. And the first point is I attended the St. Patrick's Working Group last Wednesday, where there was only four councillors in attendance. And Chair, I highlighted at the meeting my concern of both Newry and Downpatrick, St. Patrick's Day festivals going out to a third-party consultant to manage and arrange. It had always been in council's control, primarily Mr. Duffy and Mr. Brannigan in the Newry and the Downpatrick side. And it would be my concern, I want to highlight it under this, is that it's my concern that this will go out to a third party and the feeling of the community event being lost. And it's going to come out of the budget that is proposed for these events. So that's one concern. Why I raise that particular example is, under the 2017 events, are we just approving the events that are currently being proposed? Because I would understand that we're not actually agreeing to the budget that's being suggested for the events. I'll not say the total because it might scare some members. but I would hope that we're only approving here tonight those events that we're planning to schedule, but not the actual budget that's going aligned to it. Because they would need to be considered during the race process, and they would not be approved here tonight.
Sure, in relation to the St. Patrick's Day, that's something we're considering, but it would be for production services, and we may bring a paper to the ART committee around that, but I have to discuss that with the officers in more detail. So I know it was raised in the meeting I wasn't at last week. In relation to the budgets are indicative and they are subject to the race process. What I would like tonight is to agree that these are the events that we can start to plan. I would anticipate potentially there could be a cut through the rates process on budgets, but that's something we need to get a good feel for. One of the challenges with events is actually being able to organise them and have the things booked in advance. So it's getting as best a feel as possible, but I appreciate that they can still be subject to a rate cut.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Charles.
Yeah, Chair. No, just echoing. First of all, I would welcome the fact on the events that were.
Can I take your microphone over to you?
Sorry. Chair, I would welcome the fact. Sorry, I have a bit of a cold as well. Sorry. I would welcome the fact we're planning so early, because I think it's key. And obviously, in terms of the earlier book things and everything else, the more chance you have of making savings and everything else, and obviously the better plans you can make. So, welcome the fact we're getting this into the agenda early. Again, I think yes, what Gareth did in terms of rates is important. Obviously, it's going to feed into our rates discussions as well. But the other thing as well, there's a lot of flesh to be put on the bones of this stuff. So really, just through yourself, Chair Marie, that obviously we get a chance to, this will be discussed at the ERT meetings going forward, that we get a chance to feed into these events as we put more say flesh on the bones, Chair. Thanks.
Henry?
Madam Chair, I'm sorry to bounce back with what Davy Howland and Charles Casey had mentioned. And, you know, in terms of being able to clean out that river, Rivers Agency have got the most inefficient body that you could task to do it. And in the Kilkee River, in one instance, whenever we had a meeting with Rivers Agency, they had come up with a price of £20,000 to do the stretch of Kilkee River from the main road bridge down to the pedestrian bridge, 20,000. Our own environmental health officer at the time and myself come up with a scheme that cost £800 of a grant to the local community, and they cleaned it up. And it's been cleaned 3 years subsequently at their own expense with no council involvement whatsoever because of that initial bit of investment. So I think the council should look at all the ways rather than give it to such an inefficient body as Rivers Agency. It just doesn't make sense, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Okay, Henry, thank you. Mark.
Yes, thank you. On the item there on the three crude walking trails, I'd just like to get it put on record our gratitude to the Dromara Cycling Club for the work they did in coercing the PSNI.
Yeah.
And coercing the PSNI to upgrade the path to the top of Sleigh Crib, leaving it now that it is accessible to all. And so just to get our gratitude recorded for that. Thank you.
Okay, so soon, just remind you, we're not going back on issues again, so once you indulge us there, we're not going to do it again. Next item, FCNR Committee. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and a 16. Proposed? Seconded?
Chair, in relation to the big screen issue that was discussed at the SPNR meeting, as you know, over recent weeks there's been there has been concerns raised by local media outlet, and indeed even on social media I've saw that over recent days also, regarding this project and the cost of the project. And I understand there has been concerns raised with the council about this issue. I'm certainly looking for assurance at this stage that those concerns will be dealt with and dealt with appropriately, that there will be any concerns that have been raised or any clarifications from sort that officials will deal with those questions that are being asked at the minute regarding that issue.
Gareth?
Same item, Chair. And at the SPNR, I certainly did ask a lot of questions around the item, and at times, hopefully, it didn't feel that I was picking on anyone, certainly. Sure, there is still some questions around the governance, shall we say, of the delivery of the project. And I would just want to ensure the council check, you know, in a way we're checking that we did everything. If there's questions out there, isn't it due process that we do go back and we audit ourselves and present to the public, look, we have did an internal audit by an independent chair of the audit committee and present those findings back out to the public and be open and say, if we find something wasn't done correctly by an agency, not saying by the council, by an agency, that we learn from that mistake and that going forward for any future projects that we have the correct governance to ensure that all projects are delivered to the expected standard. And it's also to ensure that the story that is being presented, that there is unknown answers, is eventually answered. And hopefully by saying, and the proposal is that we send this item to the audit committee for review to ensure that the council's policies and procedures were followed. And from those findings, we should hopefully put the big screen to bed.
Eddie, you want to come in there?
Chairman, I do not have an issue with that at all. The council has a verification unit and an audit unit, and I think what we'll do, Chairman, is that we'll arrange for them to take a paper back to the audit committee, which will outline all of the process, Chair, and show you that all of the processes and all of the policies that were adopted and accepted were actually adhered to, Chairman. So I'll arrange to have that. Now, there is an audit meeting, Chairman, and then the next few days we'll not have it ready for that. We more than likely will be taking it back to the January meeting now.
Okay.
April meeting, sorry, Chairman. Sorry. April meeting, just for a minute.
Microphone. Hold on.
He isn't.
What?
Sorry, guys, I didn't realize it. David, can you get, go now?
I'll go off now.
Can't see those lights.
I want back, Emily. Yeah, you will get back.
I think you put your hands back up, it's much better.
Yeah, sure. I was always of the belief that anything that should have helped Hill Street, our Main Street, and Uri Main Street in this area should be supported. But I have to say, I was down, and I'm talking about value for money on Hill Street last week. I made a point of just staying around the big screen on Hill Street and just looking at people as they passed by. I have to say, very, very, very few people took any notice of the big screen. Yeah, well, but if you, this big screen was supposed to do something really positive for Hill Street, in my estimation, I couldn't see a great deal of support for it, or people getting clued into it, or thinking that it was very advantageous. And when we're talking about the cost of it and the money that we're paying out for, we do really have to ask: are we getting full value for money? Thank you.
Billy Walker.
Same issue. I agree, and I would second Councillor Sharvin's proposal. This needs to be put to bed. You know, we have had figures after figures here, so we have in relation to it. And I was led to believe that part of the process here and the proposal was to make it mobile, and that, you know, throughout the whole of our council area. Now, my own personal view on this is that I think there's a witch hunt here. So there is. Now, I'll say no more than that, but I believe there's a witch hunt here. It needs to be put to bed for once and for all. We as councillors have all received the figures, how much it costs, how much it costs all our councils, including Belfast City Council for their big screen and that. So we've all had the figures and that. So we had. But if we want to take it to the audit committee and make sure everything was done by the book, I would second that proposal and then put it to bed once and for all and stop the witch hunt.
Henry, is it on the same issue?
Yes, Madam Chair. No, Madam Chair, just to say that over the years being a councillor up in Uri and Mourne, the traders in Hill Street were always saying, look, we need investment, we need the council to show commitment to this area because the keys and the butter cream, whatever, are taken over. And I think that the council done the right thing in putting that screen there. It did show a degree of commitment and putting in an effort to get Hill Street, you know, more people into the area. And I think I have to especially single out Eddie Curtis for the sterling work that he's done there over many, many years to try and promote the area. Only for him, I think the place would be down on his feet. But I think, as Councillor Walker has said, it needs to be put to bed. And certainly I'm content with anything I've seen about it. And I think that it was a good effort to improve the aesthetics of Hill Street and bring people into the area. Thank you, Chairman. I'm not in charge.
Okay, so is everyone in agreement with the review of the process? Okay. That goes Michael Rowan
just for clarity and for references, what we're saying is that we're going to look at the process for the procurement and the erection of the big screen. So in terms of the proposal within the paper here, it will be approved tonight and we will proceed to action the mobile provision of the screen. So just to let members get clarity on that.
Okay. Item number 6.
To come back on that, I'm not sure whether I can agree with that or not. We have a mobile screen sitting 3 miles out the road from here at our local race course, which spends most of its time doing nothing. I know that they are keen to rent that out. I think the figure is £1,500 per day, which includes their whatever licensing and. No, that's supporting our local tourist facility that we have here. So, you know, rather than putting all our eggs into one basket and with the big screen in Uri, you know, I think we should support our local race course as well, and put them into that offering.
Shimon, what I would say to you is that you are referring us back to your next CRT meeting, where a report will be brought back on which of the major events that we feel that should be tabled out, and I think as part of that, the programme of value for money item should be added in to make sure that the council is getting the right value for money for the project that it will be selecting. If it is shown, Chairman, that the hiring of this screen is more expensive than any other screen, then I think you should be looking at the cheaper option.
So just, we're not agreeing here to give Destination Uri £30,000 over 3 years.
You are agreeing, Chair, to it, but it was agreed to refer the number of events back to your ERT meeting.
So we're agreeing to give Destination Uri £30,000 over 3 years.
Well, that's subject to the officials being satisfied that they can utilise the screen to that extent, Chairman, and that would need to be reported back to your next meeting of the ERT.
I can't support that. Just would like that recorded. I'm not supporting that.
Sorry, the national agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Next item 6, the AHC meeting on the 21st of November, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, proposed.
John seconded.
Okay. Just before we go into matters arising, I just want to say, in case anyone didn't realise, the Magnet Centre and the Killia Youth Drop-In Centre went to the private place in the Waterfront Hotel, the Waterfront Hall 2 weeks ago. Magnet Centre got runner-up in private place, and Killia were shortlisted. So I just want to make everybody aware and that we will be doing something for them in due course. So I think it's quite honourable that they've actually got that. So just wanted to note that. Okay, matters arising. Henry?
Yeah, Madam Chair, it was just a fitness suite operations for indoor leisure centres.
Do you want to put a step in? Oh. Did you want to go with me?
What?
Are you breaking in?
No, I just wanted to know what. It said the copy circulated, but I couldn't find that report. I was wondering what's that about.
Michael.
Chair, it was just to investigate the options around the fitness suite equipment for the new Newry Leisure Centre. Quite happy to send the councillor a copy of the report if he hasn't got it.
Has there been any agreement done on that equipment yet? Or
not yet. No. No. It was only permission to go out and seek interest in that.
All right. So is it going out to tender?
Yes.
Right. Thank you.
I'll send that to you.
Yeah, that'll be good. Thanks.
Okay.
Thanks, Bob.
Mark, same issue?
Yeah, no, a new issue.
Okay.
The community access to Damrice Hall in Drummond S. The bit about the reading room, I was aware of, and I know that I spoke to some people in the community, and they don't have any issue with that. The grassed area, what it's referring to as unused land, has there been any consultation done with local people with regard to that? I assume that's part of the playground.
I'm not aware that we've carried out any consultation, but I'll certainly look into that for you tomorrow. I'm not aware that there's an issue around it, but I'm also not aware that we've carried out any consultation, but I will check it out for you.
Yeah, well, I know when we spoke about it before, I spoke to local people about the room, and there was no issue around that, but I would just maybe like to be able to do the same thing again with regard to the land. Cheers.
Seriously,
Gareth. Seriously.
I actually think we're in like in a P4 class at the minute, to be honest. The daughter's in P2 and they wouldn't do that. The whole lot of you. Okay, Gareth.
Thank you, Chair. under.
Gareth, we're at a meeting here, which is you're duly elected to be here. So please respect each other. Please keep quiet when the other person's talking. It's just manners. But I mean, if we're lacking that, there's a breakout area. Please feel free to go out and do it, okay? I do not want to have to adjourn this meeting, but seriously, folks. Again, Charlie, we're at a meeting here. I'm sorry, but you know, your time isn't here. Come on, Gareth. Said it was going to help you type a letter. Yeah, that was quite different. Okay. But if you want to head on out, we'll just adjourn the meeting. Is that, yeah? Henry! Alright, okay, folks. Will we just adjourn? Well, then, just respect what you're here for. Yes, Karen.
Chair, the director, Michael Lipset, I'm sure, met with most parties this evening. And I'm not sure to what way we're planning to manage the item. It's under proposed change of name for sand. And I believe from the last discussion I had with Michael, there was a consensus of the change of the name. I'm taking it that we're not just passing this through the minutes. Are we looking to change it tonight and propose to change it? That it would be, I don't know how you pronounce it, but it would be South Armagh Newry and Down Sports Association, so SANTA. So do you need that proposed?
Yes, he does, yeah.
Right, so I would propose that it would be...
Anyone want to second it?
All right.
Okay. Everyone in agreement? No, just the name. That's what we're discussing, the name. Okay. No, just the name. But that's the item he's talking about now. At the minute, is the name. The composition still has to be discussed. We need a proposal on it. Yes, Michael?
Yeah, I propose our two members of it will be Councillor Barrow Murray and Councillor Stephen Burns.
Thank you. Patrick Bryan?
I propose that we should have membership on the Independent Alliance Group. We don't currently have representation on it. Independent Alliance Group?
Yeah, group. Five members.
Anytime, Henry. Doors open. Thank you, Chair. The membership is five, so it's a matter for the council how they want to do that. It would be normal practice for the council to use to hunt. However, it's entirely a matter for the councillors to decide. But five is the maximum you can have. The reason for that is in order to retain your charitable status, you have to agree five names. And the reason we want it done tonight was so as we can register the new company, get its charitable status with Companies House. So.
Yeah, folks, we need to agree five, and then need to work out the membership. So we need five proposed and seconded. Okay.
Yep.
All in agreement? We need to agree the number, Patrick? No, we're agreeing the number? So it's 8-5, and it has been proposed by Declan and seconded by Michael Rowan or Stephen Burns. Which is everyone in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Harry Harvin.
Well, I propose we continue on with Councillor Walker.
The names haven't been decided yet.
You need to agree the representation
now if we can. Guy Stokes?
Yeah, Chair, I would propose our two existing members. Chair, thanks.
Okay. And Councillor Ryan has proposed his two.
Chair?
Yes?
I mean, this is a matter that needs a wee bit of thought limited, but there was an earlier issue with Stainfield Trust, where Sinn Féin didn't have any representation on it, but the members were good enough to say Sinn Féin can have a position in the rotation, and that's how it was resolved. The way that the Sinn Féin and SDLP are treating this particular issue is going for gold for themselves, and as a result, unionists and independents and alliance will suffer as a result, and I think that's bad. Bad for this council and bad for the name of this council. That's the way you're prepared to treat minority groupings on the council.
David?
Sure, I have to say, I'm also very concerned about what I'm hearing here. I thought there was an indication that maybe everybody would play fair with this. But it appears from what we're hearing here tonight, the two top parties are going to marginalise unionism again. But I would certainly propose that our current member, Jill McCauley, is kept on that grouping.
Yes, just to clarify, Chair, if we were after all the positions we were entitled to through the HON system, Sinn Féin won't be entitled to three on it. So we've actually forfeited one of our positions and allowed some other party to be represented on it. Just for information. And also, Davey talked about the Saint Field project. The actual vote that night was not to put a Sinn Féin member on it.
Yep. I agree with you.
Harry?
Well, I've already proposed William.
And you're coming back in for what reason? You've already done it.
Did you accept it?
You're putting in Harry, you're putting in Jill, you're putting in your two, you're putting in your two.
And the independent alliance grouping will be proposing Davy Highland to retain his place.
Okay.
The independent alliance group.
Part of the same grouping.
Independent alliance grouping.
Okay, folks.
The grouping, Billy.
Chairman, we have more than the five nations into it, so therefore it's going to have to go regarding how we deal with a number of members wearing their hats. So we need to look at this here. If there's going to be more than five members,
I would propose that we take this away again and look at this because the way things are at the minute, we're going to make no progress tonight on it. It's right for now, I have to say.
Gareth wants to say something here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it might be worthwhile for the Director maybe to outline the reason for the reduction from 7 to 5 as to do with charitable status.
Okay, Chair. Happy to explain that. Members will be aware that originally we had a total membership of 8, which was one member from each DEA grouping, plus the Chair of Council, which gave the Council a majority on that committee or board. As a result, when we went to Charity's House to look at registering it as a charity, they said you can't have that many councillors because effectively it's an eminence of the council. Effectively it's a committee of the council and therefore can't have charitable status. So we have been informed by them that the maximum number of councillors we can have given the size of the board is 5. And that's why we're now having to decide to cut it back from 7 plus the chair of council to 5. And I appreciate that makes things slightly difficult. 7 with the chair of council on was a much easier one to work with, but that's where we are. If we don't cut it down to 5, you won't be able to attain charitable status and you won't be able to get funding streams in that you would if you had the status. So that's where we're at.
You know, Chairman, as it stands, we've got, my understanding, we've 6 nominations, 2 from Sinn Féin, 2 from the SDLP, 1 from the DUP, and 1 from Alliance nominating.
No.
7 nominations. I didn't pick up. So we have actually 7 nominations. So on that basis, where there's more, where the number of nominations exceeds the number of vacancies, there should be a ballot of the members present at the meeting in which each member shall vote for as many candidates as there are vacancies to be filled. Vacancies shall then be filled using a single transferable vote system. That's going to require a piece of time. Can I suggest, and again, maybe that we make preparations to do this at the January meeting, or else if we start to do this now, it's going to take us the guts of an hour. You can do it with the HON system. If you do it with the HON system, well, the HON system, basically, it would be Sinn Féin and the SDLP would be the only members on it. If you do it with the HON. Sure.
Sure.
Just exactly that. If it's gone under the hunt, we're going to have 3 Sinn Féin and 2 SDLP, and there's going to be no unionist representation. And what I'm saying is, as we are the biggest unionist party here, I think we should have the right to be there. I already sat in the old one. I was the Rowan representative. Jill was maybe the one for Mourne when it was Mourne in the old one. But if we go by the hunt, unionists are not going to have a part within that organization whenever it's what he called. And I think it's wrong. That sends out a worse signal, so it does, to the people out there, than independence not getting on.
Yes, Gibby. Yes, Gibby.
Then why do we send this group on the group leaders?
We've done that a group leader.
No, you don't know them.
So thanks, folks. Hold up, there's somebody else coming in here. Davey, are you still on?
Yeah.
Oh.
What I'm saying is probably of more concern here than just the compensation of this group. And though I think it's very, very unfair the way the two large parties in this chamber are behaving today. But the SANS group hasn't met effectively or in an efficient way in a long, long time. And I would be more concerned about the problems emanating from that. Than what just is the makeup of the body tonight. There's a big. I've gone to three launches for the Newry DEA, and the numbers attending each of those meetings has got smaller and smaller and smaller. And the smaller the clubs that are affiliated to SANS, and a lot of those people saying there's no point in going to these meetings anymore because we're not getting anywhere with them. I think that's more of a concern. It should be.
Okay.
Chair, we'll have to stick to the matter in hand. I propose a 10-minute adjournment. Party leaders can have a discussion with the chief executive and yourself.
Okay, I'll second that.
Everyone in agreement?
Everyone in agreement for a 10-minute adjournment?
Pick number one will be Sinn Féin. Pick number two, SDLP. Pick number three, Sinn Féin. Pick number four, SDLP. Pick number five, Sinn Féin. Pick number six, SDLP. Pick number seven, DUP. That's the position filled, Chairman, under the hand.
Thank you. Now we move on. Okay. Next item on the agenda is the minutes of the RTS committee meeting on the 23rd of November.
Sorry, Chairman, just for accuracy, can we maybe take a proposer and seconder for using the haunt and for the impacts, Chairman?
Okay. Proposed? Seconded? Okay. So, page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Opposed?
Yes, Chair, I propose.
Seconded? Okay. John Taylor or Jay Andrews. Any matters arising? No matters arising. Okay. Item 8, standing orders.
Chairman, maybe I'll start off and I need Aileen to give me a bit of support here on this, but Chairman, we've done the amendments to the standing orders. You will note from the papers that the standing orders, the paper that's attached to standing orders, refers to how you proceed to deal with any additions, any variations, and revoking of standing orders. Standing Order 27.1 says requires any motion to add to, vary, or revoke standing orders will, when proposed and seconded, stand adjourned without discussion at this meeting to the next ordinary meeting of the Council. The mandate of standing orders may not be added to, varied or revoked by the council. So the recommendation is that we get proposed and seconded to standing orders is deferred then for discussion at the council meeting on the 9th of January in accordance with standing orders. So we need a proposal and seconder, Chairman.
Proposed. Chairman. Okay. Gareth.
Chair, the standing orders.
Sorry, no discussion.
Why not?
According to standing orders.
Discussion comes at the next council meeting, Chairman.
Okay.
Chair, that's total disgrace. Okay. Because it came to its last council meeting, and there was mistakes within it. which were highlighted that our top table were confused of, and now I'm being told I can't talk on it.
Chairman, by way of explanation, at the last meeting they were withdrawn before there was no discussion on them, so they were
withdrawn. That's not correct. They weren't withdrawn. They were on the agenda, and they were presented to us as a council. That we highlighted there's mistakes, there's members that weren't being allowed to put items on committee, that then I challenged because it was in the amended standing orders, that then yourself and Eileen were reviewing the standing orders as they stood, as the amended ones were presented to us, that then you had to withdraw to review and bring back to us today.
Chairman, the issue regarding the errors in the standing orders was raised as part of a committee consultation. You're correct, there was errors in them. Therefore, that item was removed from the agenda when we came to the end, so it wasn't actually discussed at the meeting. So this is the first time. This is the standing orders as agreed by the council. So it's not to say there's not discussion. The idea is the standing orders are presented now. There's no discussion on them, so members take them away, and any discussion and changes to standing orders are agreed at the next council meeting. That's what the current standing orders say.
But that's not correct, Liam.
Thanks.
No, Chair, I'm not giving way. That is not correct. This item was discussed in the last council meeting because it wouldn't have been reviewed and withdrawn if I hadn't spoken on it. So how can you say that the way it was, Liam? Because you're wrong.
Chair, sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Item 9.
Madam Chair, can I just ask one question for clarification? And I understand it's been adopted, whatever. But it was just, if you take the...
No discussion, Henry.
I know, I just want
to... Okay, no discussion. Item 9.
I just want
to... Correspondence received from Lisburn and Cameron. If Gareth's not getting to discuss it, you're not either. So, correspondence from Gareth, and clarified afterwards with you, from Lisburn and Castleway City Council, item 9. For noting.
Chairperson, how can we adopt this as a motion in our own council? Can we bring it forward for the next meeting, or how can we follow through on this?
Chairman, it's not a motion, it's just ask for the council, will they support the motion in Lisburn and Castlereagh, so it's not...
Well, can I move that we support it then, Chairperson?
Yeah, I'm right.
Seconder for that?
Okay.
Everyone in agreement?
Yeah.
Okay. Correspondence received from Jesse Norman, MP, Lee Sellafield. For noting. Item 11, Social Value Conference, Shaping Your Future, Making Your Mark.
Sorry, Chair.
Sorry.
Just like to come in the last item there, please. Just to welcome the fact that Jesse Norman has got back to us in quite a prompt time, and that we welcome that they are still committed to Sellafield, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to review that ourselves. And maybe would it be a possibility that we could correspond again with Jesse Norman, asking that this council be given yearly updates on Sellafield and the progress that's being made?
Yeah, we can make that request, yeah. Agreement? So, sorry, Willie Walkerson, City?
Sure, just on the Sellafield thing. Is there any update on the visit that was suggested to Sellafield by this council?
That was referred back at the last meeting. I think Eileen's looking through the action sheet here on that, Chairman.
If it's not showing action here, and a quick scan down, what we do is we write to them, and if they don't come back to us within a month, then we send a reminder at that point.
I think, Chairman, from my memory, it was that they wrote back and said they would take an invite.
Yeah.
We wrote to them then, said, how many would you take? And so
how long will the visit be? So we asked for some details so that we'd have those details, and then we would make an informed decision.
Chair, if we're going to take to the bother of writing back to Jesse Norman, could I suggest that the last paragraph, which reads that the government's taking to clean up Sellafield safely, cost effectively, and quickly as possible, that we would put in our strongest possible language that we don't see safety and quickly can put in the same sentence as cost effective ever. I mean, this is a massive issue, and cost should come into nothing to do with it. This is just a simple health and safety issue, and we need to be kept abreast of it if that's the case.
Madam Chair.
Yes, David?
Yeah, I think the most interesting line to come from the letter is when she states the salad bale is safe but presents many unique challenges due to the age and history of the site. Now, I wouldn't be overconfident, despite the fact that she talks about having 50 inspectors deployed on it. You'd wonder why they'd need so many inspectors employed on such a site. But I think we have to keep our eye on the ball in this one. We don't want to leave the legacy of Sellafield to be dealt with by future generations that may be threatened by it.
Thank you, David. John, do you want to second that amendment? I'm happy with that amendment. Is everyone in agreement? I think so. Okay. Item 11, Social Value Conference, Shaping Your Future, Making Your Mark. Thursday, 26th of January, Gerwood Community Hub in Belfast. Anyone? We're noting if anyone wants to make reference to it, contact staff here. Okay, item 12, Health and Social Care Transformation Consultation on Criteria for Reconfiguring Health and Social Care Services. The copies attached.
Chairman, maybe if I don't mind, this is the reference to the Bangor report, and what we're recommending is we have done is a draft here, an initial draft, which will enable us to do a level of consultation. There's been meetings reconvened at the two task and finish health forums to consider the response, both in context of the Down Hospital and Daisy Hill Hospital. Them two meetings will be held, information gathered from that there, and brought back to finalise the council's response then at the January meeting. So, Chairman, that's the recommendation of the officers. Okay.
13, proposed and seconded.
Yeah. Just one comment, Chairperson. Colin McGrath, his last meeting in this council, corrected the minutes of the previous meeting to note that these fora were not task and finish, and the meeting's minutes were corrected and voted upon at that stage. I have the original minutes and passed them on to Councillor Sharvin. We need to stop referring them as task and finish, because although management have on two occasions tried to make it a task and finish quota, councillors have always rejected it. Thank you.
Chair, I wonder...
Dermot?
I wonder if you could I have some information in relation to item 13. It's item 2.
No, we're not on 13 yet.
Sorry.
Yeah.
John. Sorry, Chair, just for the Chief Executive, when would we expect to have the two forum meetings for the health force themselves?
We have the dates. Just to let you know, Wednesday the 14th of December at 3 p.m. for the Downpatrick working group, and then Friday the 16th of December in the boardroom in Monaghan Row in Newry at 2 p.m. for the Newry group. Sorry?
It's Wednesday
the 14th of December in the Downshire at 3 p.m. and Friday the 16th of December in the boardroom in Newry at 2 p.m. Sorry. Okay.
Chairman, there is not representatives from each of the parties, so it's not all councillors. There's representatives from each of the parties, so they're the contacted chairman.
Okay. So item 13, seeing that the documents, is there any resistance? One is just the two of them. It's McCain's SELB grant of easement in connection with Newry Youth Resource Centre. And two is the deed of charge for St Patrick's Visitor Centre Limited and Newry Moore and Down District Council, capital assistance for refurbishment of St Patrick's Visitor Centre.
The question that I did want to ask there, Chair, was in maybe
Dermot, do you want to take the microphone over to you? There's continual conferences. We've already had the conversation about that. So,
just, Chair, I wonder, could you maybe see if we have a service level agreement with the St Patrick's Centre in relation to capital expenditure. Is this a different service level agreement?
I mean, this isn't a service level agreement. This is a deed of charge. The council has obviously given money to St Patrick's. I don't know the details here, but I imagine that the council has given a capital grant aid to the St Patrick's Centre and taken a charge against it. And Marie, maybe you have to detail on to us. So maybe let her finish it.
Okay.
Just Chairman, it's a capital grant, just for the record, a capital grant towards the recording system, microphone system, and it was a charge that we'd held against the St. Patrick's Centre pending that work being done and being properly verified. So we hold a charge and we're releasing that charge because we're content now that it's been done.
Okay. Notice the motions received from Councillor Clark.
Thanks very much, Chair. I'm just let the motion.
Sorry, my mistake. I propose a seconder for the sealing of documents. Glyn and Dermot. Willie.
Thanks, Chair. We'll just take as read the motion.
Read it out for the tape. Please.
Speak clearly to the tape. This council supports the call to implement the recommendation by the Constitutional Convention to extend the franchise to include all Irish citizens, regardless of their place of residency, to vote in the next and all future presidential elections. Chairperson, the content of the motion is basically built around the Constitutional Convention, and so it looked at a number of constitutional issues. And one of the recommendations was the Irish diaspora and citizens of the North should be entitled to vote in all future Irish presidential elections. 18 years ago, the Good Friday Agreement enshrined in law the rights and entitlements of Irish citizens across all of Ireland's 32 counties. It did not seek to give partial citizenship or indeed second-class citizenship to the Irish citizens in the North. It gave full Irish citizenship as a birthright to us. The Good Friday Agreement states it is the right of anybody in the North of Ireland to consider themselves Irish or British. Voting rights in the Irish presidential elections must be extended to Irish citizens in the North of Ireland and the Irish diaspora as soon as possible. There is an urgency to support fully the right of all Irish citizens of voting age to vote for Irish president, regardless of where they live. And it is ironic that someone from the North can become president of Ireland but cannot vote in the election. Irish citizens living in the North cannot do so. The Good Friday Agreement states that both the Irish, and I re-emphasise it, the Good Friday Agreement states that both the Irish and the British government recognise the right of all people born in the North to identify as Irish citizens if they so wish. And as we move out of, and it was something I touched with Councillor Walker, me and him done a talk to a number of young people at Greenhill YMCA in Newcastle. A number of young people looking at reconciliation and culture and identity and shared space. And as we move out, you know, of the peace mode and try to develop it, the outworkings of the peace process, you know, we do need to stretch ourselves. We do need to at least walk in the shoes of others. I think we have a good relationship in the council. I think we need to expand that as a council as well. We need to understand that, you know, there's many people in the North who have a British identity and the British monarch, and that's where their allegiance is. And there's not going to be a change in regards to that. So it's about enshrining that and allowing that to develop and allowing the space for that to develop. But there's as many has an allegiance with the Irish identity. And one major, you know, part of that is to be able to vote in Irish presidential elections, the Irish president as the head of state of Ireland. And I think it's about this motion. It's not, you know, it's not fair to be divisive. I've talked with some unionists in regards to it. It's certainly not meant to be divisive. And I hope people moderate any language that they'll be using today. Because I've said many times before, it ripples down into the community. As we're trying to build relationships, it can be very damaging on the ground, what's said in council chambers. So it's about allowing the expression of Irish cultural identity, the motion is, by allowing the Irish citizens in the North, and also the diaspora. My colleague Barra Mora will talk on the diaspora aspect in detail. So I'd propose the motion.
Is our rehabilitation shaw near wind the witch in the chair shaw, a gorhu shoed foster at ha coney orhu and ish har sailia. Chair, I'm delighted to second this motion. It's an important issue that we bring before you tonight in council. It's an important issue for the people of the north, for the Irish diaspora, Irish people who are being discriminated against on account of being born in the north of the country, and many of those who have been forced to make a living abroad. This motion asks that the council supports the Constitutional Convention's recommendation that the government hold a referendum and extend the vote for president to the people of the North and the Irish diaspora. Irish citizens in the North in particular have waited a long, long time for the message that will come out of the like of tonight's motion and motions like this across the six counties. It is a powerful message and an inclusive message. As mentioned by Councillor Clark, 18 years ago, the Good Friday Agreement enshrined in law the rights and entitlements of Irish citizens across all of Ireland's 32 counties. It didn't seek to give partial citizenship or indeed second-class citizenship to these Irish citizens in the north. It gave full Irish citizenship as a birthright to us all. So what is the reason for further delaying the issue? This motion is a call to action, an opportunity to send a clear message at a time when the political and social stability of our entire country is being jeopardised by a vote taken in England to remove part of Ireland from the EU against their will. The passing of this motion without amendment will be welcomed with open arms by tens of thousands of people in the north and abroad. Today's decision is about nation building. It's about connecting the people of the north and the diaspora with all other Irish citizens. It's about remedying the hurt caused by partition, about reconciling the people of this nation in a practical way with each other. This is not intended to be a divisive issue. How could enfranchising Irish citizens in this the most important of centenary years ever be? Let's not make it one. Gráinne Margaret.
Yeah, Chair. Thanks so much, Chair. Welcome the motion. I think, I mean, this has been discussed in the past. Certainly, Chair, other countries throughout Europe will often mean that if you're living abroad, you can often go in at election time and into your local embassy and vote in elections. So it's nothing new, and it happens in other countries, particularly in presidential elections. So I don't see why it couldn't be used for Irish citizens as well, Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Clark, just to say that we as a group will not be supporting your motion here today.
Charlie.
Thank you, Chair. I certainly agree with the sentiments of the motion that Councillor Clark has brought here tonight, although I'm a wee bit hesitant. I remain to be convinced this is the correct forum, Chair, to address it in. I prefer to see it addressed at the appropriate level by the MLAs, TDs and Senators, who actually have a greater authority to persuade the Taoiseach to reconsider his stance. The motion as it stands, Chair, would have absolutely no effect, and I would ask Councillor Clark to consider amending this motion so that this Council contact all the MLAs, TDs and Senators. Councillor Clark's party has a very healthy representation in all those institutions, requesting, Chair, that they demand implementation of the Convention recommendation to extend voting rights to non-resident citizens of the state. Well, that be through the North South Ministerial Council or directly with the Office of the Taoiseach. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Patrick Brown.
Thanks, Chair. Just quickly to say that myself and Councillor McMurray, both as dual citizens, would be very happy to support this motion. Always happy to support anything that would extend my franchise as a citizen of Ireland. And I'm sure there are many other people that feel the same, although I will point out that I would be voting before President Higgins long before President McGuinness.
David.
Chair, thank you. Just want to say that Dulcie and this party group will not be supporting the motion. This issue has been discussed before. The constitutional position of Northern Ireland is very clear. We are members of the United Kingdom. And as such, any attempt to offer residents in Northern Ireland the opportunity to vote in the Irish presidential elections would serve as an attempt to undermine that position constitutionally. So on that basis, we will not be supporting the motion.
Henry?
Yes, Madam Chair. I won't be supporting the motion. And I think it was very unfair. And, you talk about conciliatory terms, and then you use terms like the English voted for Brexit to drag this part of Ireland out of the EU. You know, 44% of the people, Catholic, Protestant, Dissenter, all faith and religions and everything else, voted to leave. Yes, we lost the referendum narrowly, 46-54, whatever it was. It was actually, you know, I heard commentators saying before that this was going to be a complete wipeout within Northern Ireland, and even heard people saying it would only be the 25,000 nutters that voted Riley for Europe. You know, people were saying this, whenever in fact it was pretty close to 50-50. So, you know, there's no need for disparaging or insulting remarks about the people who voted for Brexit. And let's hope it will be delivered. But, Chairman, there's even a more succinct aspect to this. And the Irish President isn't just a ceremonial head. The Irish President can refer issues to test constitutional issues as to whether they're legal or not. You know, she's got power in appointing judges and a whole range of constitutional powers.
Thank you, man.
That affect the people who live solely in the 26 counties. Now, the reason, and it's a sensible reason, why that was never extended to people in Northern Ireland to vote, was you're living up here, completely different taxation system, you're a completely different electoral system, everything else. You kind of an emotional attachment to Ireland as an island entity, but you've no real financial or hard skin in the fight, as they would say. And that is why it would be very unfair on the people of the 26 counties to have people up here who have no real input dictating or maybe being able to swing a vote on who would get that presidential responsibility. So I am opposed to this, Chairman. And I think, you know, there's no need to be insulting or anything about any person who's voted in a particular way, and I certainly won't be doing that tonight. But if you look at the constitutional uncertainty that's sweeping across Europe at the present time, Catalonia, the Basque regions, Lombardy region of Italy, all these areas that are constitutionally uncertain at the minute, where Europe could collapse and we could get, you know, fight fights again in many aspects, because of the way the European Union's been imposing its views in those areas. They said it was about creating peace, whereas it's really brought uncertainty and a right-wing fascism back into the core of Europe. So, Chairman, I think it's very important that we don't, as the people up here, impose or try to impose our will on the people of the 26 counties. They pay their taxes there. They should pick their politicians. Thank you.
Okay. Declan.
Yeah,
that's
right. Just in support of the motion, to just make a comment that at the end of the day, no one in the north of Ireland or Northern Ireland can influence whether this is actually introduced or not. It's simply the opportunity to give to anybody anywhere in the world. So people needn't get hung up about the north of Ireland, and they've been forced, nobody's been forced into doing anything. But certainly when you look at it really is about people who consider themselves Irish anywhere, and even those who don't consider themselves Irish, many who have applied for Irish passports, under the new threat from us leaving Europe, they might actually again want to affiliate themselves in some way or other to playing a part in the election of a president of the whole of Ireland. So I think, you know, it's a bit of an a la carte. You can take it or leave it if you wish, but I think that it is a superb recommendation of the Constitutional Convention to extend it throughout the whole world to the Irish diaspora. I don't know how many million there is, but it could be a big vote. Okay, thank you, Chair.
Cadogan.
Thanks, Chairperson. I'm surprised that none of the speakers so far has referred to the fact that Northern Ireland hosts presidential elections virtually every year. I know in recent years we have hosted USA presidential elections here in Northern Ireland, the Polish elections, the Italian elections, the Lithuanian elections, and other presidential elections that are held by passport holders of those particular countries who happen to live here in Northern Ireland. It would seem a bit extraordinary that we would eliminate ourselves from the list above. I would also say in reply to Councillor Riley's point is that the 1998 British-Irish Agreement actually created cross-border constitutional and legislative requirements that affect the people in Northern Ireland in a very direct way, even more so than passport holders around the world. Where legislation, if passed in the Republic of Ireland, could well affect the situation here in Northern Ireland, particularly given the fact that the Good Friday Agreement was based in a very solid way on the relationship between Northern Ireland, the EU, and the Republic of Ireland. So the ongoing legal situation, north and south, and in relation to the EU, is extremely relevant to the presidential powers to refer acts to the Supreme Court in the Republic. So I would say to you that we should do ourselves a justice here in Northern Ireland and give ourselves the same rights as we afford the Polish people, Lithuanian people, Americans, and people from all around the world who hold passports of various types and hues.
Thank you, Kevin. Willie, do you want to stand up?
I would like to thank the members for the moderate tone of the debate. It's very welcome. Just a couple of points, and as a following maybe on from Cadogan's point, is, you know, while the convention recommendation clearly said about the diaspora, the reference I made in my contribution was based around the Good Friday Agreement, and that's enshrined in law. And the rights and entitlement of Irish citizens. That's what the point I'm trying to make, Dick, and that's different from the Irish diaspora, that the Good Friday Agreement allows our Irish citizens to be Irish citizens in the north and also to be British citizens if you so wish. So that's enshrined in an international treaty between two governments. You know, so that's the point we're trying to make. I don't disagree. There's other members mentioned about, you know, there's other parliaments that need to be discussing it. They are discussing it in the Senate and the Dáil and indeed up in the Assembly. They're fully aware of this. This was discussed with senators last week. You know, so in regards to Council of Tinley, I can't see the point of doing that. They're fully aware. It's been driven by senators in the South trying to get the two big parties, Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil, to stop kicking this can down the road and to introduce the rights. They're looking for excuses continually. So I think that's what has to be done. And again, if anybody has any influence on them parties, when there was a motion that in Senate and it was discussed about Fianna Fáil were for supporting it to look at this immediately, and yet they got a phone call the day before to not support the motion to progress it very quickly. And so anybody with any influence should bring it to bear on the likes of Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael. I can't see the point of adding additional work, John, to our staff to write into the other houses, because they're fully aware of this issue. Henry's point, Henry, this is not meant to be divisive, and Barra didn't mean to be divisive either. It was just stating a fact that the people in the north voted to remain, the people in Scotland voted to remain in Europe, and the people of England are dragging us out. It's not meant to be derogatory. He just stated a fact, though.
Just have less an argument across the camera. Thank you.
He's just stating a fact. He's not being derogatory. He's just stating a fact. It's not meant to be drugged.
Okay. So it's been proposed, been seconded, all in favour?
No.
Those four, show of hands.
Follow the motion.
Against? Any abstentions? Okay, motion is carried. Motion is carried. Item 50.
34, 8 against. No abstentions.
Item 15, notice the motion received from Councillor Enright.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Right. What I want to explain is Cadogan has sent a motion here, and I believe under Stamp Order 16.16 that will be referred to the ERT committee, and Cadogan will be so asked to attend that committee and make his proposal.
Chairperson, I must protest about this, because this does not just attend to one particular department alone. This is a department crossing motion that shows that different departments within council cannot work together. So moving this motion off the agenda so it can't be publicly debated basically covers up 2.5 years of incompetence in managing tourism events from South Armagh up to Killyleagh. And really, the fact that we can't get two departments to work together to produce a single set of events for each DEA area in a joined up way, well in advance, so people have a chance to advertise their events, is just not good. It's just not good enough.
Logan, do you have a seconder for your motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And it will be referred to the ERC committee. Thank you. All agreement? Because it has to go through the proper chamber. Okay. Item 16, notice of motion received from Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And just the motion is as follows. Mary Morn and doubtless the Council calls upon the Government to make fair transitional state pension arrangements for all women born on or after the 6th of April 1951 who have unfairly borne the burden of the increase to state pension age with lack of appropriate notification.
Continue, Henry.
I will do.
Out the door. Bye. Kerry.
Okay, thanks very much. More or less what happens is that hundreds of thousands of, well, more or less said in the motion that the hundreds of thousands of women have had significant pension changes imposed on them by the Pensions Act of 1995 and 2011 with little or no personal notification of the changes. Some women had only 2 years' notice of a 6-year increase to their state pension age. Many women who were born in the 1950s are living in hardship. Retirement plans have been shattered with devastating consequences. And many of these women are already out of the labour market, caring for elderly relatives, providing childcare for grandchildren, or suffer discrimination in the workplace, so struggle to find employment. Women born in this decade are suffering financially, and these women have worked hard, raised families, and paid their tax and national insurance with the expectation that they will be financially secure when reaching 60. It is not the pension age itself that is in dispute. It is widely accepted that women and men should retire at the same time. The issue is that arises in the women's state pension age has been too rapid and has happened without sufficient notice having been given to the women affected, leaving women with no time to make alternative arrangements. And in years to come, there's lots of crisis. And you know, there's a lot of people that are younger that are going to be caught in the pensions trap also, expecting to work longer years, whatever. And at the end of the day, it's an issue that's going to become more commonplace. And I ask that this council calls upon the government to reconsider these arrangements for women born on or after 6th of April so that women do not live in hardship due to pension changes and that they were not told about until it was too late to make alternative arrangements. So I move the motion.
I assume Kate has seconded, but Patrick has come in here first, sir.
I was going to take the opportunity to second the motion, if possible. But if that was on the agenda, I don't mind. I'm happy for Kate. I was just going to speak on it. No, for a bit, I was following this issue for a while. It's a very important one. The Conservative government are changing the state pension age from 60 to 65, meaning women born in 1950 will have to wait an additional 5 years to claim their state pension. This itself is a significant burden for any woman nearing their retirement to deal with, but what is most worrying is that no transitional arrangements have been put in place to assist these women for planning for their future. Like Councillor Andrews said, this is not about equality in the pension age, this is about how the changes are being carried out. There has been minimal media coverage and a lack of...
Maybe we can all just listen.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Patrick.
There has been minimal media coverage and a lack of government-led awareness campaigns and little or no written notice to women born in the 50s who will essentially be left with a 5-year gap in their retirement budget now. This proposal is particularly unfair when you consider the difficulties many older women face in finding stable work later in life, something many women across the UK will now have no choice but to do. If Northern Ireland is to endure welfare reform, it's important those reforms are done fairly and equitably. I think it's important to use this opportunity to raise awareness amongst local residents and encourage them to contact their MP, the Pensions Minister and the PM to voice their opposition to state pension inequality. This campaign is not about the changes to pension age, but the way it is being administered and the fact that it will disadvantage some of those most deserving of state benefits in our society. I commend Councillor Andrews for bringing it forward this evening and give it my full support.
Thank you. Kate, did you want to come in here? Yes. Anyone else want to speak on it? Oh, sorry. How did you switch off your...
Oh, sorry.
Brother? Jill?
Yeah, thank you. Can I also thank Councillor Andrews for bringing this motion to the council tonight? There are a few things so clearly deserved as a state pension. The promise that if you work hard throughout your working life, the state will take care of you in your old age is an ideal which has underpinned our society for more than 70 years. The way in which the women's state pension has been increased by the government has left post-retirement planning for many in tatters. It is therefore no surprise that women negatively impacted by these changes are very frustrated and are calling on Her Majesty's Government to address this unfairness. The LC News Party, my colleagues, will be continuing to raise these concerns at Assembly and Westminster levels, and therefore we'll be supporting this motion tonight. Thank you.
Just on behalf of my own party, we would also like to commend Councillor Andrews for bringing this motion forward, and we're fully supporting it.
Okay. Chair, you
want
to come back in there to sum up?
But more or less, I'd like to welcome the support given by everybody, in fact, everybody who's spoken so far, and in fact, I'm sure everybody in spirit would agree with the sentiments have been expressed. It's, I think it is important that everybody's been encouraged to work hard, save hard for a better future, but I think the way welfare reform is going at Westminster is the fact that it's expecting people to work harder and live shorter, because many a poor person who might not see retirement age, but hopefully what I have tabled here this evening will highlight people's concerns. So thanks to all for their support in the motion.
Does everyone agree? Thank you. Things over.